Time now, my friends, for our TalkSport Book of the Week. But let me start with the end of a story rather than the beginning. On July the 3rd, 1989, after five seasons and I think 285 matches in charge of Swindon Town, we saw the Robins rise 59 league places. Lou Macari accepted West Ham's offer to become their manager. It was the end of an era brilliantly charted by David Wallace in a book called Swindon Town, The Lou Macari Years, published by our friends at Pitch. A fantastic read. And I'm delighted to say the man in question, not Lou Macari, but David Wallace, the author, joins us now. Good morning, David. A fantastic read this, matey. Let's start, though, when, again, after Lou Macari, Ozzy Ardiles took over. Then you had Glenn Hoddle in place. Difficult to imagine anybody that major being interested in Swindon Town, with no disrespect, if it wasn't for what Lou Macari had achieved. Where was he? Where was Swindon when Lou Macari took over back in 84, please, David?
Swindon Town were in a really desperate place, in actual fact. We had a manager called Ken Beamish, who had been in charge for only a season, in actual fact. But we, for the first time ever, we dropped into Division 4, as it was called at the time. We spent a couple of years there, and we finished in our lowest ever Football League position of 17th in Division 4. And, we desperately needed somebody to turn our fortunes around, and Lou Macari, thankfully, accepted the position as player manager with us. And he started that particular time, just started a period of unbridled success for us.
I mean, he was an amazingly dynamic figure. Still is, of course. He turns up on Manchester United TV and plays as a broadcaster. But how would you characterise his management style?
Because he seems
like quite a hard taskmaster, doesn't he? He wasn't afraid to put some stick about and to almost call out the players in interviews after games.
Yeah, I was trying to shy away from the word dictatorial, which was the first one that came to mind. But he was certainly a hard taskmaster, exactly right. He demanded the greatest efforts from his players. He demanded complete fitness. Complete professionalism is a word that Lou holds in great regard on footballing circles. So, yeah, he needed all his players to demonstrate their complete commitment to the cause of Swindon Town in our case.
Difficult to imagine some players, at whatever level, putting up with the kind of army camp regime that he seemed keen on as well from time to time.
Oh, didn't he just? Yeah, and it's difficult to believe that any professional footballer these days will put up with going to an army camp to train. But yeah, he certainly took the team out to army camps on Salisbury Plain whenever he thought he needed to instill a little bit of extra discipline.
And it does seem fascinating as somebody, I mean, I'm old enough to remember all this the first time around as a West Ham fan. I remember when Lou Macari came to us, and then we'll talk about that in a moment, what unfolded there. But there was also the changes in the football system. For example, I think it would have been, it was 86, 87, maybe later, that suddenly the playoff era entered into things. And you ended up playing, I think, Gillingham about five times to finally get your promotion back up into, I think, the second tier then.
Yeah, that's right. It was, in actual fact, the first year that the playoffs had been introduced. We played Gillingham, as you correctly mentioned there. We played them at Priestfield and lost 1-0. We then, in the second leg, because this was over the semi-finals of the playoffs, the second leg was at the County Ground. We went another goal behind there, and we managed to turn that around to draw that 2-2. So that entailed a third match, which took place at Selhurst Park at Crystal Palace, where we finally put the Gills to the sword, and we achieved a 2-0 victory over Gillingham, and that took us up from Division 3 into Division 2, as it was known at that stage. That was our second successive promotion under Lou Macari.
Now, we're talking to David Wallace, author of a great book called Swindon Town, The Lou Macari Years, published by Pitch. And the other fascinating thing, I'd completely forgotten until I read your book, David, about the Full Members' Cup. Tell us about that, please.
The Full Members' Cup, yeah. At the time, it was suggested that it would be a good idea. The way I remember it, it would have been a good idea for the Associate Members' Cup, which was something which was set up for what was called associate members of the Football League, so they were members of Division 3 and Division 4, to give them a route to a final, a knockout final, which was to be played at Wembley. And yeah, the Full Members' Cup was set up for just members of Division 1 and Division 2 for exactly the same purpose. Ultimately, it was decided that crowded the the fixture list too much, and Division 1 teams and Division 2 teams decided that they really didn't need to do that. But yeah, it was a revolutionary idea. It didn't last, certainly the full Members' Cup didn't last for too long.
Now, I don't want to overstress this, but there's a bit in the book that really gave me pause, which is when Lou McCurry kind of admits to striking one of his players after a game.
He did admit to that, yeah. He was dissatisfied with one of his players, the attitude of one of his players after one game. Yeah, it was initially reported that that he had struck him, and yeah, Lou did actually accept the fact that he had. He was dissatisfied with him, and I think he regretted it pretty much straight away, because it was a lack of discipline from Lou himself, and he wouldn't have been happy with himself about that. But yes, that did actually happen.
There's also a fascinating glimpse in this book, folks. You don't have to be a Swindon Town fan to enjoy this book, because it's a fascinating insight into not only football generally, but also a different era, a different past, that football was much less concerned about the optics, as they now say. People were prepared to be honest and to be prepared to be very critical, not just of the players, but of each other. Even great, I mean, you know, Chris Kamara was playing for Swindon Town at the time and was a much loved and great player. But every now and again, even he might get a bit of flack from the supporters.
Oh, he did, yeah. Yeah, Chris Kamara has obviously been particularly well-loved now in the media channels. But, yeah, he did play for us on a couple of spells he had at Swindon Town. He was a very combative player.
Yeah.
But he also had some very good skills about him. And he went on to play for Stoke and Leeds United at a higher level. But, yeah, certainly it was a different era. There's no question about that. And in the book, it does contrast today's footballing attitudes against 1984, which is when Lou McCurry joined us at Swindon. Lou himself is plainly a little bit disappointed, or shall I say disillusioned, about the way that football's developed. And it certainly seems to this supporter, who's been watching Swindon Town since 1969, that football's lost its way a little bit.
Now, you talk at the end of the book about your journey with Swindon, about how occasionally you think to yourself, you know, half-heartedly, will I bother with a season ticket this time around? And you always seem to. What is it about football that draws you back, draws us all back like a magnet, would you say, from your perspective?
Well, from my perspective, I moved to Swindon in 1969. Swindon Town had just won the League Cup that particular year, and I missed that match by a matter of 6 months. It was certainly a case of belongingness that took me to Swindon Town, in my new town that I'd moved to, and I've been adopted by I've adopted the club, and it's adopted me, I think, ever since. But yeah, football just it appeals to people, surely, at all levels. It certainly appeals to me far greater at the lower level status that Swindon Town have occupied for so long, more than, let's say, the Premier League levels.
Now, Lou McCurry obviously gave you quite a lot of time. You spoke to him. His thoughts are suffused throughout the book, which is brilliant. What kind of man is he? I had the real pleasure of interviewing only once, years ago this would have been, and he struck me as very honest, very frank, very down to earth, but also somebody who was very kind of passionate, if you like, because he's done an awful lot of work, for example, with homelessness charities. How did he strike you when you spoke to him, David?
Well, the word integrity comes to mind every time I think about Lou McCurry. He's a man of so much good integrity about the way he lives his life and the way he expects other people to live their lives. And you're absolutely right. He's now doing such great work in Stoke, which he's made his home. Taking homeless people off the streets and giving them somewhere to spend the evening, spend the night, and giving them the opportunity to sort of rebuild their lives.
We've also got, though, the concerns about what happened when he left Swindon. He goes to West Ham. There's a kind of betting scandal, which then kind of peters out. But he offered his resignation at West Ham, which was accepted. And then he says later on to you, he said, he regretted offering that resignation because he started really well for us. And then almost it was like his sense of honour led him to offer this resignation, which in retrospect seems completely unnecessary.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Paul. It was his sense of honour. He felt that he might be tarnishing the reputation of West Ham United purely and simply by something that was still happening at Swindon Town. It's a reflection of the man himself.
OK, so let's talk a bit about Swindon Town as it is at the moment. We know the great history of the club. We know how you've missed out on things through no fault of your own. I think you could have played in Europe in the 60s and that didn't happen because of you being, I think, a second or third tier club. What are your hopes for next season? What would you like to see happen realistically, David, with Swindon?
Well, first of all, I'm impressed by your student attitude there towards us being denied being able to play.
Disgrace. That was an absolute disgrace. I mean, only through reading about it, but when you look back at it, there's no natural justice to that decision.
Well, no, it did seem very unfair. Just because we were a third division side when we beat Arsenal at Wembley, we weren't allowed to enter the European Cup Winners' Cup. I guess it was assumed that we just let the reputation of English football down by being so incapable of playing in it, instead of which we played in the Anglo-Italian tournament and won that. So, that was... the sense of injustice, I think, runs through that, and I think a lot of football supporters at a lot of clubs will feel that there's a sense of injustice for their clubs under certain circumstances. That happens to be one of ours.
But Swindon going forward, okay, next season, what would you like to see happen? What should happen with Swindon Town? Because, you know, fantastic fan base, you've got a great catchment area, great part of the country, club with great history. I would say, with no disrespect, you've underperformed for a number of seasons now.
Oh, we have. There's no question about that. We certainly have got more potential than we've been exploiting. We've recently appointed Ian Holloway, who has been out of the game for 4 years. He's joined us in October, and it's been the turnaround in performances has been phenomenal. So my hopes and expectations are going to be the same as any other Swindon Town supporter, and that is that we can build on what he's started to do this season. Surely we've got to challenge for promotion next year. I just would like to see us out of this basement division that we've been in for so long now, and start to sort of show our potential again and achieve what I've always thought we were capable of doing.
Now, you did have a terrible, terrible blip, I think it was last season, in the FA Cup against Aldershot Town. You were 7-0 down, I think, weren't you, within an hour?
Yeah, that was a horrible game. And it's it surely must qualify as the worst performance and the worst afternoon of last season, and for many, many seasons beforehand. You're absolutely right. We were 7-0 down within an hour. In fact, we were 3-0 down within inside 10 minutes against Aldershot, who were and still are in playing in the National League. So,
We should say you got four back. It was still 7-4 at the end, though.
It was 7-4 at the end, and that's a ridiculous scoreline as well. Everything, whatever might we achieve to get those four goals back, pales into insignificance in comparison to the fact that we were totally humiliated by a non-league club that afternoon.
Let me end, though, I don't normally do this, by quoting an author's words back to him, because this is a fabulous book, folks. It's called Swindon Town, The Lou Macari Years. So anybody interested in football should get hold of this via Pitch, of course, available online. This is what David Wallace, author of our Book of the Week, wrote. Right near the end, for five short years, plus a few more, which were built on those foundations, Macari allowed Town, as in Swindon Town supporters, to believe that the status of their club was being redefined, that it could be a bigger club, if it only allowed the recently acquired more senior status to become the new normal. Well, let's hope the new normal, which never quite developed into fruition, comes again for Swindon Town. David, you've been a fantastic guest, matey. I know this isn't your first book. Have you got plans for another?
I have, and I've actually already started it, because I enjoyed doing this one, and it just sort of seemed to roll along really nicely. I was really pleased to be able to talk to Lou and get Lou's input into the book. So the next story to be told is the 5 years after Lou's departure, because that actually took us into the Premier League.
Yeah.
First of all, by... Ozzy Ardiles' leadership.
Of course, Ozzy also joined you as player manager, didn't he? But he was mainly on the bench, I think, wasn't he, as player?
He did. He only actually made two substitute appearances for us as a player before he hung his boots up. And he took us to a further stage after Lou, and then that was built on by Glenn Hoddle, and finally took us into the Premier League that we'd been denied in 1990.
Fantastic stuff there from the author of our Book of the Week. His name is David Wallace. The book is Swindon Town, The Lou Macari Years. Sounds like the first of a trilogy to me, published by Pitch. And that was our interview with David on TalkSport and Talk, where we're live, my friends, till 5. Up the Robins.